Amen. I thank God for His goodness, His mercy. I just want to deal with some scriptures and look at these things in the Word of God, chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. I trust that the Lord will help us as we look at these scriptures. May the hand of God be real to us. And I trust the Lord will speak to you as you sit here today and we look at the Word of God. I'm glad I've got the Word of God to preach. I'm glad I've got the Word of God that comforts me, strengthens me, directs me. I wouldn't know what I could do or I wouldn't know what to do without the Word of God, and certainly I wouldn't do right. Have a rough enough time doing anything for the Lord when I got the Word. Amen. I hate to be a rebel, but I have to admit that I've been a rebel many times, and so have you. Amen. So I pray that God will help us to follow the Word of God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. We might be what God wants us to be. Stand, please, in chapter 7 of the book of Matthew for the reading. We'll read verse number 13, please. At least that's where we'll start. And let's pray together as we read it. He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And good fruit, a tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down," that's cut down, "and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." You can be seated. Heavenly Father, this morning we approach the throne of grace carefully, and Lord, cautiously, but yet at the same time, Lord, from the Word of God you told us we could, we come boldly. And Lord, we come to you this morning asking for the presence and the power and the touch of God upon us. You said we could ask help in the time of need. Lord, this is a time of need for us. We're opening the Word of God. Lord, we don't know what to say today in particular. And Lord, I pray that you might open our lips and may we speak as the oracles of God and also as we wish we had when we stand in the judgment bar. Lord, I pray you'd open our minds of understanding. And Lord, as we speak, may we be able to comprehend the things of God, and may something be said today that will cause some soul to realize that they're lost without God. They're on their way to hell. And Lord, if there's one in our midst today that's discouraged and despondent, I pray you'd speak to them likewise. Lord, may the power of a resurrected Christ overshadow our minds and souls. May the presence of a living God sit down amongst us today. And Lord, may we feel your divine presence and that holy divine tug upon our heart. Oh Lord, things that's not right in our heart. And I pray today that this will be a service that please you. You'd get the glory, the honor, and the praise. We commit it to you. We plead the blood over every soul and over every heart. And I pray, God, you'd get the glory and the honor from every single heart today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm glad that God has made a way of escape for sin. I'm glad God made a way of escape for me. I'm glad that God directed my path. I was thinking while I was in the choir, as a little boy sitting on the end of the pew when the preacher preached that morning, I didn't know much about the Word of God. Still don't know much, but I've learned a little, and I thank God for that. But as I sat on that second pew at the end, when that preacher delivered that message and preached to me, my heart got under such a load in that day when I walked down the aisle and bowed in that altar. And I said, "God, save me." I'm glad He moved in. And I'm glad He took over and there's been a change made. And I said a while ago, I wobbled on the axle, hadn't always done everything I should have done. I failed and missed the mark many times. And the Holy Spirit of God has showed me some things in my life has been wrong and I had to get them right. I thank God that He's done that for me. And I can still say many years later, thank God that the grace of God that appeared to me then is still with me today. And He has not left me. He's never forsaken me, but He's gone with me all the way. And I can promise you, upon the authority of God's Word, He'll do the same for you if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad He does that. You see, God has always wanted to be around man. Amen. He made man, put him in the garden, and then He didn't go home and stay away. He come down in the cool of the day and started walking man, did He not? Amen. And He said to Adam, talk to him, and I don't know the conversation that went on prior to the fall, but I know this, He walked with Adam in the cool of the day. The cool of the day is the best time of the day. Amen. God picked the choicest time, and He come and spoke to Adam. Of course, I believe any time you was in the Garden of Eden, it'd been all right, don't you? But anyhow, what happened when man failed? God had to do something. He already knew it before the foundation of the world was ever laid. But then we find that He visited a mankind from time to time, even after He expelled him out of the garden. He spoke to Abraham and the prophets, and He spoke to the patriarchs and all of them, and dealt with them, and spoke to Moses, amen, on the top of the mountain. You remember that? Called old Moses on the mountain. God has to get us sometimes at the place. He don't just talk to us anywhere. We got to get on God's level to get talked to. Amen. Somebody living in sin and you think you're going to talk and have communion with God, you got another thing coming to you. Amen. God said, Moses, I got to get the setting. I want you to get up here on the mountain. I got something to speak to you about. God got him alone and up on the mountaintop and give him those 10 commandments on 2 tables of stone and sent him back down. And there became the law. God said, hey, I want my law to be prosperous. I want my law to make its form and fashion in your heart. I want my law. I want to be with you. I don't want you to have to go through a world of sin and sorrow, not have any kind of direction. I don't want you to be in the dark. No, I didn't want you to even come out and have to be cast out of the garden, but I had to put you out because of sin. I did not want you to eat of the tree of life and live in sin forever. So God said, I'll put you out. But I don't want you to be left in the dark. I'm going to do what I can to get you in the light. So He gave him the Word of God. And man disgraced the Word of God. Let that Word fall. Amen. God used the priests many times to speak to the people. He used the kings sometimes to speak to the people. And He used the prophets to speak to the people. Then finally, God built him a temple through Solomon. And God came down. Hey, I want to go back and tell you this. He even met with His people in the tabernacle. As God had made that tabernacle just like Moses was supposed to make it. He made it just like God said, make it. And brother, God come down and dwell with them in the Holy of Holies. Hey, wasn't that a blessing to be an old Israelite out there in the wilderness? Hey, man, those old 12 tribes around that place. And look over there, and it didn't look too pleasing. You look at it, and it looked ugly. Amen, to the world. That's what Christ looks like to the world this morning. Looks like something they don't want. Something they don't desire. Amen. But them Israelites can look over there, and they see smoke rising up. Didn't mean that God is on the inside building a fire warming His feet. It meant that was His presence. Amen. They seen that smoke go up in the daytime. Amen. And they had a pillar of fire by night. And brother, that cloud that led them through the wilderness, brother, I want you to know they knew that God was with them. God said, I don't want you to be in the dark. Same thing happened in the temple. Brother, God came down and dwelt with them in the temple, and the temple was filled with the presence of God. Many times I can find in the book of Ezra, and oh, you know, in the book of Isaiah, brother, they saw the presence of God, and God's presence filled the temple like a smoke, amen, and there it was. I want you to know God wants to be with His people. He needs to be with His people, and God wants to meet with us like that this morning. Then that the system changed. People defied God, they walked away from God, and guess what happened? In the New Testament, God sent His Son, His only begotten Son. And the Bible said He was made of a woman. The Bible said that He dwelled with us. Brother, we'll find that the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, or tabernacle among us in John chapter 1 in verse number 14. And God said, I'll just walk up and down among them. I'll raise their dead. I'll open their blind eyes. I'll touch their deaf ears. I'll touch their dumb tongues. And brother, God raised them up and showed them that He was God. But they refused Him and crucified Him on an old rugged tree. He went to the grave and arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave on the third day. And later ascended up into heaven. And the Holy Ghost come down. And God said, I've still been wanting to live with man. And he's still trying to get rid of me. And God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going going to go down and dwell. And then when I got saved, thank God the Holy Ghost moved in me. And ever since now, I'm a tabernacle of the Lord this morning. And you're a tabernacle of God. And brother, He's dwelling on the inside of us. And brother, He draws us and leads us and guides us. I want you to know, thank God, that we are part of the family of God. That's not all. Brother, when the church is called out of here, when the rapture takes place and the saints of God are called out, what's going to happen? God's going to revert back to those Jews. Brother, He's going to fill them with the voice of God in their lips, and they're going to go up and down the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and people are going to get saved. Brother, God is not without a voice upon this earth. He's always been around man. Thank God for the open word of God that we can find all these things. Amen. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And He'll deal with them Jews. And He'll dwell with them. And then thank God when He makes it all new. This is what I'm looking forward to. Brother, we all will be in His divine holy presence. And He'll never be separated from us again. Brother, I'm looking forward to that blessed hour. Brother, when the saints of God will always have a good time. Brother, we rejoice. We have some good times as a family here. But just think about when we get to glory. Amen. What about we'll see His visible presence. Now this ought to be good to some of you folks. An old English teacher, she was a praying. They heard her praying in the altar. And here's what she said. She said, as she drawed to the Lord, she said, Lord, You've been blessing us. And she said, Thou hast blessed us in the past tense. Amen. That's like an English teacher. Miss Burrell, you like this. Amen. Said, You have blessed us in the past tense. Thou art blessing us in the present tense. But Lord, please keep on blessing us in the future tense. Amen. And that's the way we ought to be. Amen. I'm looking forward to the Lord's blessings this year. Amen. And with His presence. Now, I want to talk about some things right here. As we look in the Word of God. Amen. In chapter number 7 and verse number 13, the Bible said, Enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, there's a straight gate according to the Word of God. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. There's two ways, the broad road and the narrow road, or the broad way and the narrow way. Now, I don't know where you're at. I don't know which road you're traveling on this morning. If I'm going to go somewhere, I've got to get on the road, or I've got to hitchhike, or I've got to blaze myself a trail somewhere. But the best way for me to do it is to get the road signs and the map and figure it out. And I go down the road and I take the path and I go in the direction that it tells me to go. And I get there. If I want to go to heaven this morning, I can't just haphazardly jump on any road and head that way. And I said Wednesday night on the radio this past week, I heard on one of the talk shows, this woman said, there's many ways to heaven. Brother, she sure flipped a nerve in my soul. Amen. I thought, she don't know what she's talking about. Amen. She said, there's the Mormon road. And I talked about different roads, different religions. But I want you to know there's not but one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, you can lift Confucius if you want to. You can exalt him if you want to. You can lift Muhammad if you want to. You can exalt him if you want to. You can get Buddha if you want to. That's your prerogative. You've got that right. You've got that privilege. But I want to tell you, trust any of them and you'll die and go to hell. Brother, you'll never make heaven. Brother, you can trust the Baptists and the Baptists will take you in the wrong direction. You can trust the Methodists, and the Methodists will take you in the wrong direction. You can get religions of all sorts and all kinds, and they'll take you in the wrong direction. But brother, you better get off that broad road this morning and get on that narrow way. And that narrow way is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but through the Son. And I want to tell you, nobody, nobody never has, and nobody ever will get to heaven but by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Now that is an affirmative. Amen. There's no other way. Anything else that might be said will not be the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you right now, and you get there through the Spirit of God. And I trust today the Spirit of God will deal with you. I thought about this. I was reading, and I said somebody's talking about the Egyptians. Now they are back yonder were known for the good things that they could do and their expertise in trying to get things, especially in their buildings. And they saw a group of Egyptians trying to get a big old boulder, a big old rock that they'd hewn out, and they just raised it to the platform where they wanted it to go. And it's raising in the air. The only way they had to raise it was by ropes. And they'd pull them ropes. And I don't know how they had them all fixed, but they're pulling them ropes. And they pulled and they pulled. And they run out of enough people, I guess, to pull. And they got as far as they could go. And they were the only just an inch or so of getting to their platform. And they were pulling and they were pulling. And they couldn't do anything else. Couldn't seem to get it there. And all of a sudden, some old sailor come by. He said, "Wet the ropes." And they said, "What?" He said, "Wet the ropes." They said, "What's that got to do?" He said, "Wet the ropes." He said, they started pouring water on them ropes. Them old ropes began to start shrinking up. And they started popping and cracking. And said, that old boulder just began to raise right up. And all they had to do was just shove it on. Amen. You said, "What are you getting at?" Brother, let me tell you something this morning. All I can do this morning is preach the Word of God, tell you what God's given me. But I'll tell you, somebody's got to wet the ropes. Brother, the Holy Ghost has got to wet what we preach. And brother, the Holy Ghost will drive it home and put it in place. And I pray this morning, God, wet the ropes while I'm preaching this morning. And you get a hold of the thought that you're going to hell or you're going to heaven. And you know which one you're going to. Amen. The Bible said there's two ways. You either on one of these two roads this morning. You're either on the broad road or you're on the narrow road. Now I want to read something else. We done read it once, but I want to read it again. In verse number 15, I want to use all these scriptures I can. By the way, it's by the Word of God you get saved anyhow. Brother, my word's not worth much, but God's Word is. Beware of false prophets. Now in our day, we wouldn't say false prophets. We'd say beware of false preachers. The days of the prophets are gone. You'd be surprised at the people in Baptist churches that does not believe that. I hear them on the radios in different places driving through the country and across the country. And they'll say it's the old prophet Joe or whatever his name is. Brother, the prophets are gone. Days of the prophets are gone. God's got His preachers now. We're in a day of grace. Now we may hurl the gospel and tell forth what God has already told, but this prophets to tell you what's going to happen that has not been recorded in the Word of God is over. We've got all we need recorded in the Bible to get us there. And so here's what happens. He said, beware of false prophets or false preachers. False, that means they're not real. I was in the bank the other day. I think I mentioned this, but I'll do it again. I was in the bank the other day, and it was at the holiday times, and they was kind of, I guess some of them going to lunch or something. I had to get in line. And there's a fellow with three of them little bags. There are three or four of them, and he was making his deposits. He's some kind of businessman. And I seen I was going to be there a little bit. And I'm standing there, and she's counting money out of one of them and counting money out of the other. And she's just, you know how them tellers can go, psh, 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 that money, I mean, it makes a racket. Psh, 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 they can do it with their fingers. I ain't never got enough like that, amen. But I'd see them do it. Psh, 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 there she was. And she said, I kept pulled it out. She said, "Can't give you credit for this." And that quick. And I looked. I just looked. And he said, "What's wrong with it?" She said, "It's not real." He said, "How do you know?" Said, "Here, feel it." And he touched it. He said, then she handed him a real one. He said, "Yeah, all right." She said, "I can't give you credit for this." Said, "But I can't even give it back to you. We got to send it off." He said, "You just lost it. It's a $10. She said, "That's what they're passing out." And I caught that. I thought, counterfeit. And I said, when I got to look at this scripture this morning, I said to myself, that's what these are. These are counterfeit prophets. Counterfeit preachers, if you will. And he said, beware of them. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like a sheep, even make a racket like a sheep, but they smell like a wolf. And they act like a wolf. And they do like a wolf. Amen. But he said, but inwardly they are what kind of wolves? Ravening wolves. That's the only kind you find out there. Ravening means they're vicious, dangerous. And so he's saying, beware of them false prophets and false preachers. They look good and they sound good, but they stink to high heavens. They are a wolf. And they're dangerous. Our churches are filled with them. They're preaching everything but the grace of God. They preach in works. They deny the blood. They tell you you can get to heaven by being a good man or a good woman. They tell you you can get to heaven by being baptized, giving all your money to the poor and all kinds of charities. But they won't tell you that you're lost and undone and have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. They won't tell you that. He said in verse number 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. He said, put your glasses, your spiritual glasses on. Put the Holy Ghost on and let Him show you. Now here's how He gives it. Brother, the Bible's very clear. He said, do men gather grapes of thorns? When you want grapes, do you go out to find a thorn bush to get grapes? No, you go to a grapevine. Amen. He says here, He said, in this, He said, are figs of thistles? You go out in the thistles to find a fig? No, you go to a fig tree or a fig bush. Let me just tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if you want the truth, you find somebody's preaching the truth and you listen to what they've got to say, and you better take it to heart. Now what He says in verse number 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree will always bring forth good fruit. And a bad tree will always bring forth bad fruit. Amen. It's that easy. Well, sometimes, and I know Baptists use this, you tell you not to judge one another. Don't be judgmental. And they'll look at that and say, I'm not being judging, I'm just being a fruit inspector. I've heard that over and over and over. Well, we're not to even, he just said that you'll tell. You'll tell. You won't have to examine very far. Listen, I can tell when I go to an apple tree, if it's not, I can tell if it's an apple. I'm smart enough to know what an apple is. If I went to an apple tree and it had a peach on it, I'd look again at the limbs and the leaves. Wouldn't you? And I said, it looks like an apple tree. It's shaped like an apple tree. But it's got a peach on it. There's something wrong with this tree. And I say, he looks like a preacher. He sounds like a preacher. But I want to watch him when he walks and hits the ground and how he lives every day of his life. And if he's out there on Monday cussing, on Tuesday cussing, and carrying on through the week, and then gets in the pulpit on Sunday and preaches his heart out, I tell you, there's something wrong with that picture. Now he's saying here, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What do you say about these false preachers and false prophets? Said they're not real, they're not genuine, they're going to be cast out. And they're going to hell too. Now in verses number 13 and 14, we talked about the broad road and the narrow road. You're either on one of the two. You're on the broad road to destruction, or you're on the narrow way to heaven. I can preach on that a while. I just touched the surface, all I did. Now, we know that he's come to another place. There are false preachers, there are false prophets, and there are real preachers. And you're either one of the two. Amen. I appreciate Brother Burrell is here with us this morning. He stood true to the things of God down through the years. And brother, I want to commend you here. Amen this morning. Appreciate that. I want to say thank you for staying true to God. You can tell good preachers from false preachers if you'll look. Of course, we're living in a time when preachers today, I'll tell you, if I wasn't what I feel being genuine, if I just wanted to play the cards, if I just wanted to take the money, brother, I tell you what, it'd be a fun thing to be a preacher. All you got to do is just show up and make a few words and go home. I know that's going on in our county. It's going over in our world. A fellow the other day was talking to me about, said, we got a preacher and he's filling in. And brother, I tell you, I've watched that man's lifestyle for years. And brother, I thought to myself, as soon as he told me he is filling in for the month of January, brother, I've been praying ever since. And I'm still seeking the face of God. I feel sorry for the people that's going to have to sit under him for a month. I'm not being judgmental. I wouldn't give him 10 minutes of my time. Hear me. And we've got them filling in our pulpits all across America. Brother, there's a difference between a real preacher and a false preacher. Now let's look at something else. Let's get down to what the fellow says, itty gritty. Down in verse number 21 of this same chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You hearing that? He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess, hear that, unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now we talked about two roads, the narrow road and the broad road. We've talked about the false teachers and preachers. And we've talked about the real, genuine teachers and preachers. And now we've come to the place, it comes to an individuality. It's coming to an individual. Here are some that's going to stand before God, and he said they would. And the books will be open, they'll be judged, but somebody's going to be standing up. And they're going to be standing there, and they're going to say, Lord, I've done good. I've preached and I've prophesied. I've done many wonderful works. I want you to look at it. And they've got a work record. They got a good work record. Many of these will be these false teachers and false preachers that we've just discussed. But it'll also not just be them. It'll be those who sit under them false teachers and preachers and who have thought they got saved, and under a pretense of saying that they got saved, they got religion instead, and they turned over a new leaf in their life, and they decide they're going to do a little bit better, and they're going to get them a Bible and put it on their arm, and they're going to go to church and start living a little bit different. They're going to be different, especially while they're at church. Amen. They done decided in their mind on Sunday morning the best thing to do is go to the closet and get the halo on. Amen. And sometimes have to spit shine and shine it up. Put that halo on and start trying to practice a little bit and get them some heavenly kind of mouthwash. Going to take better than Listerine for you, saints. Amen. And they'll gargle with a little bit of spiritual mouthwash so that they can talk a little better than what they've been talking about all week. And they put on their religious garb and sometimes put a King James Bible on their arm, and they'll go down to the house of God and sit there, brother, like they're somebody, when down on the inside they're nothing but a unborn, lost man or woman going to hell. And under pretense. And they got everybody fooled. Amen. Some of y'all in here may have me fooled. I don't know. Praise God. Preacher been preaching a long time. Can tell I've been fooled a lot of times. I want to tell you. There's some I thought had it, found out they didn't have it. Amen. There's some, don't have it. You think they don't, and they got it. That's the amazing thing about going to heaven. You're going to find out for real. And some of y'all may have me fooled. You will be able to die this week or next week, or I'm not trying to scare you. Maybe this afternoon. And you may call on me to, or you may not, but your family may call on me to preach your funeral. And I may get up there thinking you're saved and preach you into heaven and find out when I get to heaven you ain't there. But God said there's going to be a crowd say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils? I mean cast out. You said, can the lost cast out devils? Said they have. How can the lost cast out devils? Brother, they cast them out the way the Bible says to cast them out. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Somebody said, can lost people do that? The Bible says it did here. Amen. Brother, let me tell you, brother, they can do that. They got almighty works and they've shouted, they've run the aisles. They made everybody think they're saved. But he's going to say to them, listen, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Somebody said, well, they just backslid. Well, backsliding won't get you out of the family of God. Somebody said, preacher, I'm just backslid. Well, you're still saved if you ever got in. Hear me? Somebody said, preacher, you believe that once you're saved, you're always saved? I believe when you get eternal life, you've got eternal life. I looked up eternal many times just to kind of prove it again over and over, and I forget, and my little old memory ain't as good as it used to be. But ever so often, I look that word eternal up again, and it means forever and ever. You know it meant that 20 years ago? I looked it up last week, and it still says it hasn't changed. A lot of things have changed, but that ain't changed. I got eternal life. Amen. John 3:16 said he'd give me everlasting life. And that's what kind of life I've got. So if he said, I never knew you, it means that God had never known. And he looked at them and said, you used to be mine, but now I don't know you. That means when God said, I never knew you, he's lying. And I want you to know this morning, thank God, brother, God don't lie. Some things God can't do. He can't die. He can't lie. Amen. And He can't refuse you heaven if you come through His blood. Amen. So I rejoice in the Lord. Now we look at this. He said, I never knew ye. You workers of iniquity. You ye that work iniquity. Look at verse 24. I want to read this. Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Pretty good place to build your house. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now remember, he's preaching this seventh chapter. Now they're astonished at what he has to say. He has been in the midst of religion now for a little bit. And he's preaching to religious Pharisees and Sadducees. And they're hearing the word of God. The Bible said, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now what I've been preaching to you this morning, you better take it to heart. It's the words of Jesus. It's not the words of Dennis. It's not the words of your pastor this morning. What I've been preaching to you is the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's not the words of Buddha. It's not the words of Muhammad. It's not the words of Confucius. It's not the words of the Pope. It's the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he said this. He said, if you build your house on a rock, that means on a good foundation. That means this morning you will be a wise man. But if you build your house on the sand, you'll be as a foolish man. The winds blow, the storms come, the rains come down. Winds and rains and storms washes the sand out from under the building, and the building falls because it's not foundation, and the foundation is not correct. It's not right. If you haven't built your life on Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary and let the blood of Jesus Christ forgive you your sin, then you have built your life on a foundation of sand, and you will fall. But he said, if you build your house on the rock, what's that? The Bible teaches us, for other foundation can no man lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians. He tells us this morning that we build upon Him, then we'll stand. Those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, admitted that they were a sinner, confessed their sin and asked the Lord Jesus to forgive them, and that blood of Christ has forgiven their sin and washed away their sin, never to be remembered against them anymore, they have been put on the narrow road. Those teachers who have done the very same thing, they are the real teachers. Those who have put their trust personally in the Lord Jesus Christ, His own personal Savior, they are those this morning that are anchored and the wise men that have built their souls upon the foundation of Christ, the Rock of Ages. Anything else is going to get you in trouble. Now this is Bible. I hadn't tried to preach around it. Hadn't tried to preach over it. I just tried to preach right at it and right through it. Brother, this is what God says, and His invitation is this morning, come unto Me, all you heavy laden and who are laboring heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He tells us, He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. He teaches us this morning to come to Him. He tells us, begs us, pleads with us with outstretched arms. Amen. The rich man in hell this morning didn't listen, and he's got something that's tormenting him for the rest of eternity, or which won't be an end to it, and that is his memory. Brother, he got mission-minded in hell, and he said, send Moses, or send somebody down to my brother's house and tell them about Christ. Tell them about the saving grace of God. Go down there and tell them. His memory served him. Brother, it still served him. Brother, your memory will serve you when you get in hell if you deny this morning. And in hell, you'll scream and weep and wail. And brother, the Bible teaches me this simply through the rich man. Brother, in hell, you remember this same message I'm preaching. You'll remember the same time that God spoke to you and told you that what He's telling you is true. You'll remember the times that you turned over and said, I will not listen. My wife's uncle, he lived a life down through the years without God. Been a pretty successful businessman. And even up in his years of old age, he wouldn't talk about God. His family would go to church occasionally, but he wouldn't even have nothing to do with God. All his other brothers, some of them preached, but he wouldn't get involved. About 2 weeks before he died, my wife said, I'm going to go down and speak to him. And I want to talk to him one more time and tell him about Jesus. And she went into that hospital room, said he's laying there, and said, He was laying there, and she said, John, said, I want to tell you one more time about Jesus and see if I can't get you to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus, because you're going to face Him pretty soon. And said he just turned over in his bed and put his back to her and wouldn't even answer a word. And she went ahead and spoke to him. She walked out of the room, and in 2 weeks he went into eternity. I want to tell you, you may live that life, but I want to say to you this morning, you'll regret it for all eternity. You wish you hadn't rejected God. You wish you still had an opportunity in hell, brother. They'd love for me to be able to walk through the corridors of hell and give a message of any kind down in hell and give an invitation. Brother, the inhabitants would welcome me this morning. And anybody else, it would go. But God said, there's a gulf fixed. They can't come to you, and you can't go to them. And brother, God said, in your lifetime, you got to do it. And he said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't hear one, though he rose from the dead. And if you won't hear me this morning, brother, God could send you one out of hell, and brother, you wouldn't even hear him. But God said, there's a broad road and a narrow road. Which one are you on? Heads bowed. Which one are you on? Which one are you on? Broad road, narrow road. On the right foundation, amen. Get that nowhere, nothing but the blood. I don't know what number it is. Nothing but the blood. That's the only thing that's going to cure you of your sin this morning. Nothing but the blood.